This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You're listening to episode 173 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to learn all about running shoes. This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got the Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational, and let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond. Hey, runners, and welcome to episode 173. My name is Letty.
My name is Ryan.
And we are your hosts. Welcome back if you are a longtime listener.
And if you're new here, you've been missing out.
That's right. We do this every week, and we do have quite some fun episodes. We do bring on coaches. We bring on
other coaches
of nutrition.
And you talk about books. You talk about race recaps. Sometimes I try to keep you on track.
And sometimes you distract me, just like now.
Yes. So today we're going to talk about shoes and how the color of your shoes affects your running speed.
I actually think that's one of those mental things. And it might work because my Alpha Flies are always very bright and fast, like orange and red. But no, we're not going to talk about that, the mental part of running shoes. We are going to talk about running shoes, how to shop for running shoes. We're going to talk about your gait and different things that come into play when it comes to figuring out what shoes you should wear. There's different types of running shoes. Also, we're going to talk about shoes that you can use for different types of workouts, for your long runs, for your everyday trainers, for your tempo runs, etc. And we're also going to talk about the longevity of running shoes. And the bonus question is whether or not you should throw your running shoes into the washing machine, which is something that it's a habit that I do. Once a week, my shoes go into the washing machine.
I'm interested to know like what the thought is on the like how long to use the shoes, or like you say, how many shoes in a rotation. I think some of that's a little bit arbitrary. I mean, I wonder if there's any scientific data behind it. Plus, it might be just fun just to get new shoes, make you keep you motivated.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, you don't really realize how old your shoe is until you get the exact same shoe in a new version and then compare them next to each other.
Yeah, no doubt they feel different, and especially, you know, even over short periods of time, they can wear in and the materials can wear down. But I wonder how much functionally that actually changes. It does definitely has a feel to it, though. There's some, I guess we'll find out, huh?
Yeah. And the funnest part about this episode is that I talked to Carlos the Runner about it. Do you follow him?
I don't, but I remember you telling me about him, so I should.
Definitely.
You want to get into it?
Sure. So without any further ado, I'm now going to play my conversation with Carlos the Runner. All right. So I'm on here with Carlos the Runner. Carlos, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. Yay.
Of course. So Carlos, you've gone viral on the internet. We're going to talk about you a little bit first, and then we're going to roll into the surprising fact that you are a shoe expert. So maybe you can share a little bit about your journey, who you are, what you do. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so it all started almost 11 years ago. That I was a little overweight, like more than now. So pretty heavy, and I had lower back issues. It was pretty bad. So one of my brothers, he's a physical therapist, And I asked him for advice, and he said, well, one of the main things, Carlos, it's probably going to hurt you to hear this, but you're going to lose weight. And the next thing is, yeah, just exercise. You know, you have to be more active. So I said, what about running? I mean, I like running. So is that good? It's like, he said, well, yeah, as long as, you know, it's not in a negative way or hurting you or whatever. It's like, no. So I started running on the treadmill, and it escalated from a 5K on the treadmill to outside, going outside, running 5Ks, but just not races, just outside, but on my own. And then 10Ks. And then one day it's like, I'm just going to go and run a half marathon. And that's what I did. It took me like 2 years to go to an actual race, to meet people actually too. Like I was like a lonely runner. Like I didn't have any friends or anything. Like it was just me, and I was having the best time. And even then I was like pretty hardcore on the sexy pace thing that I always preach about. So, so I started, there was a group on Facebook that it was all about run feats, you know, like selfies for runners. And I always wanted to come up with something more original. So I started creating all these pictures with mainly dinosaurs chasing me. So that's the thing that, you know, like people paid attention to. So I started then on Instagram after a few years. And that's what I was doing. And then I started doing pictures for other runners. And that's how I got connected to the running community. Like everybody started knowing, oh, this is a dinosaur guy. And then I started doing memes. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. Like everything else that I've done, like you said, it's kind of like it grew by itself. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Because I told you earlier, before we started recording, that you're one of the few Instagram accounts that I definitely recommend that people follow, just because it's always super entertaining. So tell us maybe a little bit how you discovered that you actually have a talent for it and your sense of humor. How do you come up with these memes?
That's a weird thing to think about, because it's like, I guess in my case, I am always a very creative person, and every day I have to do something creative, something different, something unique, something, you know, that will, you know, like stimulate my brain, my mind, and I end up doing those things. Like I just, you know, like and also one of the main things is with the memes, the main question that I do to myself after posting a meme is this going to be relatable to everybody? If it is, you know, I'll post it. And that's pretty much how it's made. Now I've gotten to a point where my friends, my wife, they will send me pictures of things, and it's like, oh, you should do a meme about this. So now I do that. I do requests from my friends and family.
That's good to know. I'm going to start sending requests your way. But I want to kind of go back to what you said earlier about things being relatable, because I feel like that is exactly how you touch so many lives, because people are afraid to kind of make fun of themselves. Whereas yours are just, you know, they're just out there and people laugh out loud when they see them.
Yeah, I mean, in my case, I'll say it's I'm just, you know, I'm being honest. I'm being transparent. Like the way if you meet me in real life is what you get there on the feed, on the Instagram posts and everything. I'm like that. I'm not like, you know, like it's not a persona. It's just how I do things even before running. I was like that. So yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward actually to hopefully meet you in person one day. All right. So, Carlos, I was surprised to hear that you are also a shoe expert, because we don't really realize that. We all know you love Hokas, but we didn't know that you worked in the shoe business.
Yes. So I've been doing that for 4 years.
How do you like it?
I really enjoy it, because, you know, especially like feel like people don't even realize it's funny because some of my coworkers, I mean, I'm not going to be like exposing them, but they're not runners. And others are like others, like some of the others of my coworkers have been in the business for literally decades. So they love it. Like, and just like me, I mean, I enjoy, you know, giving advice or finding the right fit for a runner or somebody that just want to exercise. It's, for me, that's just great.
So do you work at a running store then? And do you deal with people coming in, or are you more behind the scenes, or what is it exactly what you do?
Yeah, no, it's a running store, and we deal like sometimes people go by appointment, but usually they already know, like our store is very prestigious. So people will come say, I wanted to get fitted, and a friend told me to come here because you guys do a great job. And it's like, yep. So then we do everything from scratch, you know, everything.
And that's so important. And I feel like, you know, I started running in the mid-2000s, 2004 or so. And back then, you didn't really have all these online businesses where you had to really go into a store. And the importance of being fitted and seeing what kind of gait you have, how important is that really? Because now the other option is to just get a bunch of stuff online and just blindly trying out what fits or feels best.
Well, yeah, I'm glad that you touched that subject, because a lot of the people come, and they are usually, I will say maybe 8 out of 10 will mention the online thing, saying, oh, I was gonna buy this shoe online, but now that I try it here, it doesn't feel right. It's like, well, yes, that's the whole point of getting fitted, because you're here with a person that just by looking at your feet, your gait, getting all the basic information from your personal background will determine what shoe will fit better for you. That's a whole different thing than just going online and seeing something pretty and, oh, let me click it and it'll be at home in 2 days.
I mean, it's kind of like online dating, right? So you pick the person you want to date and they look all good on paper, and then you just don't have that chemistry and something isn't working right.
This is why the meme, that meme, you know, it's very like eye opener. The one that, I don't know if you've seen it, the one that says what I order versus what I got.
I haven't seen that.
That's like, they will say, like, say they, somebody orders like a really great outfit, and then on in person is like the complete different things, so ugly. And so that's pretty much how buying a shoe online is for me.
Are you looking for the perfect apparel that mirrors your love for running? Look no further than Run Swag, the go-to store by runners for runners. From witty tees to hoodies that commemorate your marathon majors to crops that get you motivated, Run Swag's got you covered. Discover the perfect blend of comfort and style. Visit www.runswag.com. Run Swag. There's something for every runner.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Olly.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So we kind of touched on it a little bit, but maybe walk us through how somebody is fitted. Do you make them run? Do you make them walk? What are you looking for when you're looking at somebody trying on shoes?
So, yeah, well, the old fashioned way was like people will have a treadmill and they will see them running to a point that it will just record them and look at the gait. Like that's for us is sort of like ancient history. Now we have a machine like the one that we have at work. It's called Volumental. So it's a 3D scan. So whenever you're stepping on it, it will show everything, you know, like your arches, your heel width, your instep height, everything. And then you, from a certain perspective, you can see if somebody's either an overpronator or a supinator. And then if you are like, you know, like, oh, well, it's a machine. Maybe I shouldn't trust it a lot. So you can just ask the person not to run, just walk. And with that, it's like, it's definite. Like you can actually say, oh, they need this particular shoe, or they could do better with this other one, or motion control, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. So there's stability, there's pronating. What other types of shoes are there that somebody may need?
Okay. So this is one thing I hope I explain it in a very good way so people can understand, because that's one thing that whenever people come into this store, they don't know, like they have no clue about any of this. I only divide them in two. Well, there should be three types, but mainly basically we'll call it like black and white, which is neutral will be the white and stability the black. So a neutral person usually needs neutral shoe consists only on support and in the sense of cushion. That's it. Like there's nothing else to it. Since your foot is in a good position, it's not overpronating or supinating. You just have a shoe that lets you run, let's say, freely. But the stability one, it's a motion control shoe that will hold your foot on the sides. It will come with either guide rails or a support, an artificial arch underneath. It also has a little shell in the back. So just imagine, just picture two hands holding your foot. That's kind of like how a stability shoe works. Like, once you imagine that, just imagine that your foot's trying to go straight. It will go in one direction. It won't go out or in. And, that's the difference between them. So I mentioned a third one, which is a stability neutral, which is a shoe that has half and half. So it's a very mild, stability in it. And I can tell you there's a certain, just a couple of them that has that. So that's pretty much it.
Okay. And so, yeah, I didn't know any of this. So the person that has high arches or the person that pronates, are those the ones that need to have a stability shoe, or who in general goes into a stability shoe?
So, okay. That's another really great question. So the thing is, it's very complex, and it's just not like, oh, if you have a high arch, you need this. If you have a lower arch, you need that. Because sometimes with us at the store, people will come and have a very low arch or flat foot, as they call it. And they have no overpronation and no supination. So there's no need for stability. There's no need for motion control. So you try to find a shoe that has no arch support in it. So that's very important, because usually people automatically think, oh, they have a flat foot, they need a shoe with stability. And that's incorrect. So in the case, what you just mentioned, a high arch, actually what it needs is pretty much arch support and cushioning. Usually they don't tend to overpronate or supinate, but if you're supinating, also a lot of cushion on the heel. So all of those factors you have to take in consideration, and not just that, but the person, the miles that they're going to be doing, their whole, you know, habits as a runner. So it's a little more complex than just saying this shoe fits to you because you have a high arch. That's it. So a good example that you just mentioned, Hoka, a good example of a shoe that has a lot of arch support for people with high arches is the Clifton 9. So that shoe could work for me, but let's say you have a high arch too and you try it and you feel like it's not working. So it could be for different factors. Maybe you have a narrow foot and the shoe is pretty kind of like flexible and wider and you don't like it. So a shoe that works for me, it won't necessarily work out for you.
Okay, so that just makes it a little bit more complicated. And knowing all of that, I wish when we looked for shoes or even shop for them online, you could kind of sort them not by price or brand, but by whatever they offer. But that given, does it happen that are brands known for certain types of shoes, or do they basically have one for every runner out there? So in other words, if Hoka makes shoes, are they kind of going for the people with the wider feet, high arches, or do they have several different shoes that can go with one person?
I would say that all brands work with everybody's like kind of feet, and you know, like the kind of the way they are, the way they look. Like what you were just saying about Hoka, like yeah, they tend to be a little more like on the wider toe box kind of based, but they used to have like this, the talking about the Clifton, it used to be a shoe that was a little more narrow, but lately I feel like all of them are pretty wide. But yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, I'll say the only one that's very specific about that, about the width, it has to be a shoe like Ultra that, you know, they have a special, like very wide toe box because of the zero drop. But other than that, everybody, it's kind of like working around people's feet.
Great. So that makes shopping a little bit more complicated. So the best thing would be to go into a store and get fitted and then kind of just try out the brands.
Yeah, well, I will say, yeah, that's one of the main things is what you just said. It's better to get advice, to do your own research. That's important. Look into a lot of reviews and things, and don't let just be, you know, like if somebody is talking great things about a shoe, don't get influenced by it and say, oh, so-and-so said it was the greatest shoe, so I'm going to buy that. Go to the store and then ask them, what about this shoe? Do you think it will fit me? It will be good for me? And then, you know, that will start the whole process. But yeah, I will definitely recommend for people to be a little more concerned about what they're going to be wearing before buying it.
Unless they have a really good shoe return policy. You know, it's kind of like with the Nike Alpha Flies. Some people love them and some people try them out for 20 seconds and they say absolutely not. It's kind of a preference as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like say that shoe that you're talking about, it's in particular, it has a very like specific look and fit for a specific kind of people. So not everybody's going to be comfortable in it. Not everybody's going to make it work. So yeah, just because you see it in races or you see it on your feed on Instagram and you see like slow-mo videos, reels of people working like hard in them, doesn't mean that, oh yeah, maybe I should get that shoe and I'm going to be fast. Don't do that.
Absolutely. All right. So let's move on to the topic of shoe rotation and longevity. How many pairs of running shoes should a runner have? So with that, you're giving us permission to go buy more. And then also, why is shoe rotation so important?
All right. So that's actually something really good, a really good question and a good way to give people advice on it. I might not be the best one for that because I have way too many shoes. Like a lot of them. So, but yeah, it's like, and, but one thing that I can say, it's never enough. It's fine. If you have, it's better to have more than one than just having one. That's key. Like, I see a lot of people coming into the store that they have a shoe for literally everything. Not for just running, for going out, for, you know, like doing for work, for everything and running. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. Don't do that. And I'm going to tell you like the basic idea of how, why having two pairs is good. The main idea is when people see shoes, they need to picture it as, like whenever you go to bed, you know, like the mattress, whenever you're laying down on the mattress for 8 hours, you know, what happens with it? Like it's kind of like goes down, like the coils all work in a way that will be comforting for you. That's the same way a shoe works when you put it on your feet. Like whenever you put the shoe on your foot, it's the cushion is working with the body. So whenever you're done with it, that cushion needs recovery. So usually they say they recommend that for a shoe, you need to at least give it a day for it to, you know, get back to like, you know, the way it was. So having two pairs, you know, that gives you that advantage. Having three pairs, you know, and so on, so on. So That's a great, great advantage. And I can, you know, I can tell you from my own experience that, sometimes, there's a shoe that I haven't used in a while and just put it on. It's like, oh my God, this feels like brand new. I love it. So it is the best, one of the best things that you can do to avoid injuries.
I like that. Yeah. And then obviously also we have specific shoes that go with specific workouts. Your long, easy paced runs, probably you wouldn't run in the same shoe as you would your speed workout.
Never. Exactly. That's it. Also, yeah, that's a great thing that you just mentioned there because, so this, I can give you an example and I feel bad because people's going to hear this and some of them are going to be really sad about it, but it's the reality of things, people. So please work with me on this. Last year I did the Chicago Marathon. I was running the Carbon X 3 from Hoka. And, you know, that shoe is pretty much the shoe that you were supposed to wear for that. You know, like that's the shoe made for that. While I was there, I, you know, being in the business that I'm in, I can't just, it's a pet peeve. I have to look at people's shoes. And one of the guys that I saw was wearing the Mach 5. So the Mach 5, let me tell you a little bit about that shoe. It's from Hoka. It's an up-tempo shoe. The durability, it's way less than a daily trainer. So you can run a 5-miler, 7-miler at a, you know, like a fast pace, tempo pace, or you can do a half marathon. That's it. But if you're going to be doing a full marathon in that shoe, I'm sorry, but you know, you have my blessing. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with those feet, but you're going to regret it. And the funny thing is, you know, I always thought about that and I saw it, but, a customer came into the store and we talked about that. And this person said, you know what? I did my marathon in the Mach 5. And oh, my whole body, like my legs were killing me after. So there you have it. So I had the theory and I had the person, like the actual the experience that somebody told me about it. So
that's definitely good to know and to keep in mind. And I'm going to throw in another question on this topic, because this is something I do and I don't know how bad it is. How bad is it to throw your shoes into the washer? I run without socks 90% of the time, and I know it grosses out some people. And I live in Florida, where once you're done running, it sounds like you're running in a swamp because everything is wet. And I wash my shoes maybe once a week. I throw them in the washer. How bad is that for the shoe?
Well, you know, that's another question that we get all the time. So can you wash this in the washer? I was like, well, I would say that's pretty much up to you. Like, if you want to do that, and it's like, I think I did that once and nothing happened to my shoes, but I wouldn't do it like, as a, you know, like a normal occurrence, like, oh, I'm just going to do it every other week. Like, no, that's like once in a while, maybe if you think they're super dirty, like they're all covered in mud or something, like maybe, but like just for like, oh, every Sunday morning, I'm going to go to, you know, like, and do this. And no, that's not going to work.
Okay. I'll try to stop that habit from continuing.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about shoe longevity. There is this rule out there, and I'm always a big skeptic when it comes to rules. When people say, oh, you can only run 200 miles in these shoes or 400 miles, usually I kind of literally run them into the ground to where I'm running on the foam, and then I get a new pair because they still feel okay. What's the rule and why?
This is the thing. It's a little complex, to be honest. Like, say, depending on the shoe and the type of shoe that you're using, say, like a daily trainer most likely will last around 500 to 600 miles. That's it. Like, in every brand, no matter what. The super trainers might be a little more, maybe, but the super shoes, like the one you mentioned, like the Alpha Fly, like the Rocket X2, Vaporfly, just thinking off the top of my head, Saucony, Endorphin Elite, all of those shoes have a very limited lifespan, probably 250 miles, 300 miles. That's it. And a lot of people is like what you just said, like you, like, oh, but I feel fine in that. Like, I don't have a problem with it. The issue with it is that some of them, like in the case of the super shoes, they come either with a carbon fiber plate or PIVA foam or PIVAX plate. All of that will be worn out at that moment. And after that, it will lose its power. It's like, you don't want to wear that for, you know, like on race day, like for that. And then the other ones, the daily trainers, in the case that you were just mentioning, like in your case, you feel fine and all that, a good way to know that even that you already hit 600 miles and you feel nothing, it's just grab the shoe, try to bend it. And if it bends like a sandal or something like super easy, that means it's got to go. It's got to go because it's not firm enough. It's not giving you that support that you need. So that's one of the things. The other thing is you can feel it. You can feel in your foot, like if it's kind of firm, or you don't feel the same responsiveness. Or the best way to test it, just go to a store, get don't even buy a new pair of shoes. Just go and say, hey, can I try these, the same shoe that you're wearing but new? And you'll be like, oh my god, yeah, I need new shoes. So that's because I that's the expression of people every time they go, is like, oh my god, this feels so great. Like, well, yes, it's new. So there you go.
That's great advice. You're right. We probably don't realize how much better a fresh shoe would feel until we wear it. And obviously when we're training for a marathon, we should strive to not get injured during this training cycle. So again, you've given us permission to buy more shoes with that.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, the other thing is, I feel like the emotional attachment some people have to shoes it's crazy. Going back to what I said about the Chicago Marathon, I saw somebody with shoes that I swear they looked like they were like probably 5 years old. And I was like, oh, no. This is not happening for you. Poor little, you know, feet of yours. Like, they're going to suffer. Like, that's not even, that shouldn't be legal. Like, why?
Yeah, mine all look newer because I throw them in the washer so much. But, you know, with me, it's also that attachment. It's almost like you spend so much time with them. It's like that boyfriend that you just can't dump. So after a while, you turn them into lawn mowing shoes and then they turn green. And then finally, I always ask my husband, I'm like, can you please throw them in the trash when I'm not watching? Because for some reason, there's this attachment. And, you know, you have your pretty shoe collection and then there's just less and less of that there.
Yeah, and then sometimes people, we have the option in our store to donate the shoes. And I'm very strong about that. I'm like, they will say something like, oh, yeah, I can use them for your artwork. Like, no. This is over. This relationship, please say goodbye to your shoes today. And then you can see their, you know, eyes like heartbroken, but it's like, you need to do this. Like, just, you know, unattach, please. Just
I love the donating option, but you know, I feel like you can't donate the shoes anymore when you can't see the rubber on the bottoms and you're on the foam.
So that's another thing people say, well, who's gonna wear this? It's like not necessarily gonna be wearing them. We say we donate them and then they will, you know, like shred them and use them for other things, like recycle. And so
I didn't know that, so that's great. So I'm gonna prepare a bag for next time.
Yeah, get rid for your yard shoes to, you know, do a good like a charity thing there with the donation.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my last question. Looking at female runners and comparing the shoe designs that they sometimes have for male versus female, what can you tell us about that? Is there really that much of a difference? And also, does it matter?
There is a lot of difference, and women shouldn't be wearing men's shoes. The end. No, I'm just kidding. No. Actually, this is the thing. So what I just said, it's because, a lot of people ask that, like, especially when you, when they bring out kits, like little kits. And the best fit for a little boy, it's usually women's shoes. And they're like, oh, but how's that? Like, is that different? Yeah, it is different, but sometimes the design is very minimal of a difference. Sometimes it's the exact same shoe, but the women's shoes are usually lighter just by a few ounces. Just a little bit. Some other brands, I know for a fact that Asics, I think Asics used to have a shoe for women's to use based on their period. So that's very specific. Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember the name of the shoe, but yeah, it's something like that. But others, like I said, in general, it's just women's shoes are lighter. That's it.
Okay, good. So now I don't feel so bad about shopping in the men's section half the time, because, you know, when you like a certain type of shoe, a lot of times the women colors are different from the guys colors. And depending on what it is, you know, you kind of go for the color.
They always go and it's like, oh, I really like this one. Like, yeah, that's a men's shoe. Oh, why do you guys always have the best colors? Like, oh, come on. Yeah, I will say the opposite. Sometimes I really like women's shoes, like this, the colorways, but you know.
Interesting. That's cool. So yeah, thank you, Carlo, so much for coming on. I appreciate your insight. That was great.
Yeah, well, thank you. And if anybody has any question, something a little more complex and then, you know, like extended version of what we just talked about, they can reach out to me and I can explain.
Perfect. All right, Carlos, thank you so much for coming on. And for those, well, two listeners that haven't found you online yet, you're at Carlos the Runner.
Yes, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos, for coming on. I had a blast speaking with you. Thank you for your jokes and all your valuable information. And I guess after speaking with Carlos, Ryan, I now feel like I need to get a ton of more running shoes.
Do we have room for those? Do we need to build a new closet?
Well, like you said, I should just donate the ones that I don't love anymore. If I found a place locally that took donated running shoes, it'll probably also make me feel better. Because right now, you know how it goes. I ask you to put them in the trash for me so I don't have to do it myself because I feel so bad. It's like, I feel so attached to them.
That is true. You have this like big apprehension to actually putting them in the trash. You're like, you do it. I'm like, why did you just put them in the trash?
And they are run to the ground. Like you can't even see the rubber anymore. I'm running on foam, guys. So, and an old pair of Alpha Fly that I've had for probably 600 miles where I'm running on the air bubble. And every Sunday morning when I take them out for their very last spin, I'm just waiting for the bubble to pop, kind of. I want to see what happens.
So maybe I'll regret that we did this podcast.
Maybe. Just look at the checking account.
Oh, no.
All right. So if you guys are still here listening, thank you so much. Please leave us a review on whatever platform that you're listening to us. We appreciate it.
If you like any of this stuff we're talking about or the effort that, I mean, to be honest, Letty puts in more than I do about getting all these interviewees and stuff and talking about, you know, running, please give us a like or rate us because it'll help more listeners come to the channel. And with that,
have a great week of running.
And back to work for me so I can afford shoes for you.
Thanks for tuning in. For more information, head to www.runningpodcast.us. And as always, have a great week of running.